And as usual, we're back at it with CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, which might be a little slick this morning. I'm not sure. Dan, good morning, and good to hear from you again. How was driving this morning?
You know, I didn't. I'm at my in-home studio, so I haven't been out yet. But it looks like it's plenty slippery. That's
yeah,
for
we'll
sure.
Advise our listeners to be careful out there. 31 is the official temp. In fact, we have a text about snow tires. Maybe that's perfect for for a day like this. If you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. Dan has been answering these questions here on CCO for many, many years. And you don't have to be a motorhead or a gearhead to ask, you know, any detailed questions, any kind of a car care question. We welcome those either by phone or by text. If you want to chat with Dan, great. You want to send him a text. Either way, the number to do it is 651-461-9226. But keep in mind, Dan will take his leave in about a little over a half hour or so from now. So time is of the essence. So call or text as soon as you come up with your car care question, 651-461-9226. This one, in fact, we've had this, I know, in past shows, Dan, with rear-wheel drive cars. Texter says, listener says, do I need all four snow tires, or can I just put it on the drive wheels?
Well, as we've talked a lot about snow tires, Denny, you don't need to put them on all four wheels. However, I would sure recommend it, because you will sure notice a difference when it comes to handling your car in the snow and on the ice. And it used to be we used to just put snow tires on the rear of the vehicle on a two-wheel drive car back in the old days, because they were not driver friendly. You know, they were loud and uncomfortable to ride on, and you know, didn't work good on dry pavement, all that sort of stuff. Nowadays, with radial snow tires, other than the traction, you basically can't tell the difference. They're quiet, they're comfortable, they're soft, they work great. So I think that if I was bothering to put any snow tires on my vehicle, I for sure would put all four of them on.
Yeah, and you've talked in past shows too for years how great these newer, and I say that in quotes, snow tires are. Now, a word of caution, you can't drive those in warm weather. What actually will happen to that rubber?
Well, you know, actually, Denny, that is changing too.
Oh, really?
The materials they'll making the winter tires out of are certainly softer, and they certainly wear faster on hot, dry pavement, but they're way better than they used to be as far as that's concerned. So we do have some people that, you know, don't drive much, and they just run their snow tires all year round, and it seems to work fine. You know, I wouldn't say that they wear out significantly premature, probably a little bit sooner than conventional all-season tires, but it's not as bad as it used to be. And what it used to be is that in order to make the snow tires grip on snow and ice, they made them out of a very soft compound. And when you would heat that compound up on the hot summer roads, the rubber would just come right off. You know, it's like a race car. Like on a NASCAR track, that, you know, they can't even go 100 miles on those things because they're so soft and grippy. I think that's improved. And some people are running them at, you know, just as a snow tire, as an all-season tire all year round.
Interesting. I was looking at some text messages from listeners when our big recent snowfall happened here a week or so ago. And some people were saying, I got snow tires, they work great. Kind of what you've said all along for years. If you haven't experienced them, they really make a difference on snow. However, on the other side of that coin, where people say, well, if you don't really drive that much, all-season tires are plenty good. I guess that's probably true, too.
Yeah, and, you know, on a morning like this, if you have the option, don't go out and drive on these slippery roads. If you just wait a little while, the roads will just be wet and they won't be icy at all. And so if you have that option, that's a good inexpensive option too. Just stay home.
Yeah. Speaking of options, you have the option of either calling Dan and chatting with him, which is always great to do, or send him a text with any kind of a car care question you have in mind. If you need to bring in your vehicle for service and you want to know what the heck could be ailing, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Dan, do you think electric cars have more or fewer mechanical problems than gas-powered cars?
Well, I don't, you know, it's a little soon to tell it's just not a fair comparison. There are so many more internal combustion engines on the road than electric vehicles. And but we certainly have done work on electric vehicles. We've done tires and we've done brakes. And, you know, we've done all of the accessory type stuff that goes on with electric vehicles. Recently, this past month or so, we did one where the critters had gotten in there and chewed on the EV wiring harness. And that was complicated because the entire harness had to be replaced. But, you know, I think that in many ways, the only difference is the drivetrain, you know, the engine and transmission on an electric, I mean, if you even want to use those terms, on an electric vehicle is different than the engine and transmission on an internal combustion engine. And boy, I tell you what, the internal combustion engine is pretty dependable and reliable nowadays also. So I don't know. Yeah. I can't give a fair answer just because that, you know, there's just not enough data out there. In our business, where we've seen enough of the electric vehicles to say if they're dependable and reliable.
Well, but on top of that,
thing that I would say is that unlike the internal combustion engine on a lot of the electric vehicles, we haven't seen a common problem that's happening to all of them, you know, on a specific line.
Yeah.
And so I think they're pretty darn dependable and pretty reliable. I guess that's at least my initial instinct is I think they're going to be pretty dependable.
Plus, in the mix right now, you've got hybrids, which a lot of folks drive, too.
And and for me personally, I think that's the best answer. I like my internal combustion engine, probably always will. And I think that if I could get a combination of both, that might be the right answer for me.
At least right now, for sure. All right, Dan, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Again, inviting our listeners, we've got a bunch of text messages that just came in. 651-461-9226. 31 degrees in the Twin Cities. As far as the current conditions, weather folks are saying light freezing drizzle is falling. And again, we remind you to please be cautious if you need to get out there. Watch could be very slick in many spots around the parts of CCO land experiencing these winter weather advisory conditions. So keep that in mind. Again, 31 degrees on this Saturday from News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Dan, tell everybody where you guys are located there at Lloyd's.
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call, 651-228-1316.
Told my son Trooper Tony, he's got to, as soon as he gets off duty one of these days, he needs an oil change, he tells me, and I told him, I told him where to go, but he knows where to go, and you'll be seeing him one of these days, too.
I'm looking forward to that, and that's got a nice ring to it, Trooper Tony, doesn't
Trooper
it?
Tony, yes, yes. He'll smile as he gives you a speeding ticket. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Jerry is calling in from Minnetonka, I believe. Jerry, thanks for waiting. What's your question for Dan?
Good morning, Dan and guys. This is Jerry. I got a 95 Jeep YJA. It's a four-cylinder motor, and it's from Alabama. It's whole life. This is the first time in the winter with it, and it's I can't get it to idle. And when it gets fully warmed up, it'll idle. But until then, it will not idle. So can I adjust that?
I forget. I didn't hear what year it was.
It's a 1995 Jeep YJ four-cylinder.
Okay. Well, that's a interesting question because it's old enough that it's kind of in between. And officially, there's probably not any sort of adjustment for idle control because it's an old-fashioned computer system, but it certainly has a computer system that is trying to control the idle. And if it's a vehicle, I'm sure it's got low mileage or it has been driven little at that if it's that old and still on the road. And so I think what you're probably going to find is that some carbon has plugged up the idle control ports. You know, we used to have trouble with the EGR system getting plugged with carbon, and that certainly will affect the idle. It could be as simple as the air intake door is carboned up, and that's actually a very, very simple thing to clean and improve the idle. But I think before I tried to override the computer with doing any sort of adjustments, I would try doing some maintenance type stuff on it, which would be having the throttle, you know, intake cleaned and the fuel injectors and the throttle body itself, have that cleaned real good. And if that doesn't take care of it, before I had it did any adjustment on it, I would also bring it in and see if I could have it professionally diagnosed and see what the deal is, what's happening to the idle. And I suspect that somewhere along the way, it's not getting the air that it needs at idle to have it idle good.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry. Texter says this, is it okay to drive in four-wheel high for long periods of time in my F-150 in the snow?
Yes, in the snow, yes, it's just fine. what you don't want to do, and you, actually out on the highway, it's fine to drive that way too, but in town when you're turning and, you know, doing things like that, it's hard on the drivetrain in four-wheel high just because it's not free-wheeling the way that you want it to be. But in the snow, absolutely you can drive with it in four-wheel high.
I know we're going to break for weather here momentarily, but this listener says, when buying a used car, what testing should be done to assure a good working vehicle, like compression test, etc.?
Yeah, well, it's a 40 item check that we do on a vehicle. So compression, I don't worry so much about because with the new computer control, if one cylinder is weak, we're going to be able to find that, you know, by looking, and also by the way the engine's running. But more importantly, there's a whole bunch of other things that need to be, you know, with regards to brakes and suspension, and you know, we will scan the engine computer to see if there's, and transmission computer to see if there's any code stored in there, all sorts of things like that. But my recommendation is for sure, no doubt, bring it in and have it professionally inspected before you buy any vehicle.
All right, that's good advice. Hang on, Dan. We'll have a look at that forecast and then be right back with more car care. Dan will be with us, till close to 7:45 this morning. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the remaining minutes of our Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Dan Burns, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Dan, I know we have limited time here, so let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave. Here's one. Listeners driving to Myrtle Beach in January, any maintenance besides my regular oil change I should consider before such a trip?
Well, I don't know that you need to do any maintenance, but when you take it in for your regular oil change, if you mention it to your shop that you are taking that trip, they will appreciate that, and so will you, because they'll look at a couple of things a little more closely, like tires and things like that, to make sure that you are prepared for your trip. But when I'm working on a car, I always appreciate to know if their plans are something different than routine, so that I can look a little closer in the right areas.
Yeah, that makes sense. Here's a 2004 Chevy Silverado. Texter says, my driver's side seat heater no longer heats. My mechanic doesn't work on seat heaters. Where can I get it fixed? Thanks for a great show. You guys have done that.
We certainly have done that, and there's lots of shops in town that will be glad to work on your seat heater. Obviously, the first thing to do is check and make sure that you have power and ground to the seat heater. And if you do, then quite commonly it's the grid that's actually in the seat itself that has failed. It's kind of a flexible thing, and it's pretty easy for the wiring in that to get broken because you're sitting on the seat all the time. And so quite commonly that happens. And it is a little bit complicated because you have to take the, you know, on a Silverado, probably the leather off the seat itself and replace that grid. And so it can be a little bit complicated, but like I say, lots of shops, including Lloyd's Automotive, does do that, and it can certainly be fixed.
Good. Texter says, my Camry, I drive about 5,000 miles a year. With that mileage, do I change the oil one time a year or change it every 6 months, regardless of mileage?
Whatever makes you feel better. It makes me feel better if I see somebody's car twice a year. And I know that's a little premature on your oil change. But there's other things that can happen in the interim. And Denny, we used to say when a while ago when we were doing the show that I want to see your car quarterly. And I still kind of do, but the world has just changed. It doesn't go that way anymore.
Yes.
But I'm not comfortable if I don't see your car a couple times a year, just to look it over and see all that's going on and be sure that everything about it is still good.
Yeah, you're right. Like you said, things can happen in between. 2011 Grand Caravan, driver's slider doors closed, won't unlock, not mechanically with the button, not electrically. Is there any way to open the side panel to see what's going on, the inside panel?
There is, and we've certainly have done it, and it's complicated to try and get that panel off when the door is stuck in the closed position. If I was working on it, I would try a few things to trick it to see if I can get it to open, you know, using my computer scan tool and things like that. But if not, and I certainly have seen it, where there's something broken inside the door itself and there's no fixing it except to get that panel off. And I can't describe how I would do it, but I will tell you that I have never failed at getting one off when I had to. So it certainly can be done.
A 2020 Buick, it says here. Do you use the auto settings on the climate control in the winter or just heat settings?
Well, I think on not just a Buick, but any car, you know, the auto setting is set there for a reason, so that it will control the climate and keep it at a steady temperature. And the only time that I switch mine off of auto is if I have people in the car or whatever and the windows won't stay clear, then I will switch it to the defrost mode. But pretty much I always drive with my heating and air conditioning system set in the auto mode.
Okay. I think we've got time for maybe one more. Is there anything, Texter says, that dictates when you should trade in a car for a new one? I have a 2011 Ford Edge with 85,500 miles on it. Does mileage indicate when to trade it in? There's nothing major wrong with it.
Yeah, no. I think trading in a vehicle would only be personal preference. Once you've had a vehicle for a long time, most of the depreciation, or at least all of the expensive depreciation, has already happened. So an older vehicle that you're driving and is dependable and that you are comfortable with is for sure the cheapest way to get around. And so my recommendation would be, unless you want a new car, especially with 85,000 miles, that's not many miles anymore.
No, it's
and
true.
So unless you want a new car, and or unless it start is getting unreliable, I would say there's no reason to trade it in.
Yeah, and I know you guys at Lloyd's will keep it running for sure. Speaking of which, Dan, thanks for your help today. We've got to make our way out of here, make way for Jack Farrell. But for folks that maybe need your help at Lloyd's, how do we get in touch with you guys?
Well, come on over, Denny. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net. Or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
What do you say we do a show again next week at this time?
That
you ready for
great.
That?
All right. Yep,
thanks.
Perfect.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Mary Meyer from the U of M in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all straight ahead here in News Talk.